What's up, everybody? This is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs podcast and the queen of the Hopecast Network, if I don't say so myself. I'm here to remind you that Movie Torture drops every Monday, the podcast where friends get together and watch bad movies but tell great stories, or in my case, fabulous and hysterical jokes. I'll see you Monday. Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Hello, 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 hello. I didn't even count how many hellos that was. Hi. Oh, now I switched to hi. This is getting weird. Hi, everybody. Welcome back, or welcome to Locks of Laughs podcast. I am your host, Ashley Arpel Steinbach. And today we have the incredibly funny and talented Simone Alexander on the pod. You've laughed at her jokes in LA, New York, Florida, all over the place. She is hysterical. So funny that my husband even quoted her the other day. I should talk to him about that. I'm just going to bring her on because we talk a lot about getting into comedy, acting, and just being in LA during its heyday, at least the heyday for millennials, I guess. And I'm really excited to have her on. It was a really great chat. Before she comes on, please like and subscribe anywhere, everywhere you are listening to this podcast. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, our handle is Locks of Laughs Podcast. Locks is L-O-X, X like your ex-boyfriend, we hate him, of Laughs Podcast. And if you'd like to follow me personally, my Instagram is at That's Ashley's Kitchen. All right, everybody, here we go. Simone Alexander. Simone Alexander!
Hey!
Thank you so much for coming on Locks of Laughs. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited too. I feel like this is long overdue and it's going to be so much fun. So I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, it took us like five, I'm looking at the clock. It took us 5 minutes just to like start the podcast because we were chatting. Of course, yes. I have to take a sip of water right when we start. Sorry, everybody.
Ugh. Yeah, let me do it too. Let's get ready.
You know, we have to stay hydrated. Sorry, everyone. It's like ASMR, but unintentional. And Right. Anybody that hates ASMR, I'm so sorry. I actually love it. Do you like ASMR?
I do, but like for maybe 2 minutes. I can't watch a whole segment on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You can't have like a 45-minute like...
I'm like, I can't hear you, you know?
Yeah. Speak up, lady. Yes. It is too low.
Right.
Before we dive into anything, what are you noshing on today or recently, yesterday, last week, an hour ago?
Well, it will go from yesterday to today. There's this new Japanese steakhouse in Villarreal called Yukaya, U-K-I-A-H. So good. Probably the best crispy rice I've ever had.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, it was really thick, good amount. They had really good like pork belly bao buns, wagyu skewers. So I had a bao bun and a skewer earlier because I just wanted to save it because it was just so much. I ordered so much. So yeah, I literally just finished it. And my mom, of course, had some with me because she couldn't resist herself. But it was so good. I've been really into that whole crispy rice, bao bun, skewer kind of vibe.
Okay, you just made me so jealous and hungry because I just had half a corn muffin and some chips with salsa.
Cilantro. Oh my god, a corn muffin goes off. I love those. I miss them.
I love corn. What do you mean? Just go get a corn muffin. What do you mean?
Well, that's going to be my snack after this because I need to snack at least throughout the day. I don't like eat meals. I eat snacks throughout the day, like little amounts of things.
Yeah. My breakfast slash lunch, I'm using finger quotes.
Yes.
I can't say anything. Air quotes. I usually snack for breakfast and lunch and then like throughout, it's not really like a full meal, but then dinner, I'll have like a real meal. I will cook dinner.
Dinner's the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dinner. Ooh, dinner is the moment. I used to let breakfast on weekends. Breakfast/brunch is the moment because you can join it with a mimosa.
Very true. It's appropriate. It's fine. I'm eating. Nobody get concerned. I'll be fine.
Yeah, it's inappropriate Monday through Thursday, but I still do it.
Yeah, I mean,
every now and then. Not all the time. Not all the time. Just like
Ashley has a problem. I'm just
kidding. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, she doesn't. I'm fine.
Oh God, if you have a problem, then I'm homeless. Yeah. Seriously.
So I think it goes without saying, Simone, you're an incredible comedian. We actually met at a show at the Improv. You're so funny.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Same.
And your makeup and your outfit, top notch. I think that's why we connected right away, because we were both like, are we the only two people that showered in this room today?
Like, right. It's like, I don't understand, especially because they have, you know, film recording and cameras. Yeah. And I obviously want that footage all the time. So you want to look good. You know,
yeah, any excuse to get yourself on camera, like to get content, like, of course, I am taking that footage.
Yeah. I mean, I guess everybody has their thing. Maybe it goes with their. I think for me, because I show so much like unstableness in my set, it's like as long as I'm dressed and like on, it's like, OK, right. There's a balance there. So I like to like have that balance for my.
Yeah, I know what you are very vulnerable on stage. I think your jokes are really like internal, and I love them. My husband even quoted yours, or tried to. I mean, he's not a comedian, but the 2016 was a rough year.
That was the punchline.
And when he said, I knew exactly what he was referring to, and we both just had such a laugh because we were like, wow, she's really good.
That makes me so happy because that's the thing. It's, I feel like using your trauma, if you will, or anything, you realize how funny and not that big of a deal it is, kind of like a this too shall pass moment. It's like, okay, that was really terrible when you went through it. But then after, it's like, okay, you learn, you live, you learn. And sometimes I'm like, okay, you were a bit dramatic. It's not that deep, but it makes for a great joke. So everybody wins, you know?
Yeah. It's also like one of those things where I look at musicians and I'm like, and I listen to some of their songs and like the sad ones, like Avril Lavigne, not that she is sad, but a lot of her music.
Listened to I'm With You the other day. Get out of here.
No, I love Avril Lavigne. I think she is a queen. I'm obsessed with her in high school. I went and saw her in concert for her. I don't know. It wasn't like the girlfriend tour, but it was that album. So her third album.
Did she sound good live?
She was great.
Great.
Oh, she's great. That's a great singer. Amazing. She's beautiful. I love her. But she has a lot of songs that are about heartbreak and sadness, right, or missing someone and or being pressured into doing or saying or being something that she's not. And it makes you think like, okay, if these people, if these musicians who have a ton of money and anything at their fingertips they're going through things as well and then putting it into art, like we can make a joke about. That joke 2016 was about dating and relationships and then having a hoe phase. Again, that is in air quotes.
It's air quotes.
Because I'm quoting Simone.
Yeah. And also, that can mean anything. It can mean, you know, just going on dates. It could mean.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just think that you need to put yourself out there and not just put all your eggs in one basket and just date one person and then have the heartbreak, like go and sprinkle around and see what you want.
For sure. Especially when you're so fresh from a heartbreak. I mean, I don't think hoe phase has to refer to just like getting it on. Like,
right. It's a metaphor for so many things. It really is.
I'll tell you, I was such a dating hoe back in the day. Like I would go on Tinder because I wanted to have dinner. And then I would like find a guy to take me to dinner that night.
Hopefully a good dinner. Like, yeah.
Yes, I would. And it was really funny because some guys would like ask for drinks. I'm like, no, thank you.
I know that trick. We're not doing it.
Yeah, I would like a meal. I think I'm worth a meal. I think every 100%. Woman's worth a meal.
100%.
By the way, your hair, I'm just staring at your beautiful hair, your red hair. This is new. This is brand new, right?
Well, I have to shout out my mom. I actually just posted
I saw that
video for her. She's has a salon in Coral Springs. It's called Salon Paul Alexander. And she introduced me to like money pieces.
What's a money piece?
Money pieces are like, your hair is one color, and then you have a drastically different color only in the front.
Oh.
So, like, you can see this is darker here, but then this is more red. And then keratin. She's so good at the keratin treatment. If you live in South Florida, you need the keratin treatment because...
Maybe I should probably get it.
The humidity's insane. And, like, I didn't straighten my hair or anything. This is how my hair dried. My hair is dried like this.
It's so sleek.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's a star. I'm so grateful for her because I don't know what I would look like if I didn't have her, to be honest with you. So...
Shout out
to my mom.
Your hair is beautiful. Yeah, shout out to your mom. What's the name of her salon, or how can people find it?
It's self-titled because she really is that girl. Salon Paula Alexander in Coral Springs.
Love it. She's Madonna.
Yeah, she truly is in her own right. Just ask her.
Salon Paula Alexander. I love it. Okay. I have to talk to you about your shirt.
Harley D.
That is what, but I can't see what's the thing.
It's a bald eagle.
I needed a strong presence today. No, yeah. I love it.
My friend actually works for Harley Davidson. So she was like posting about it and I was like, I didn't see those shirts. And she sent me a few and yeah, so I love it.
Oh, so you just got the free swag from your friend at Harley Davidson.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, promote that and you figure it out. I mean, you do that with the food stuff, which is fabulous. Yeah. I want to tag along for one of them.
Oh, my God. Come, please. It's awesome.
I would love.
It's great. I love eating. I love to eat and talk about eating and food.
Yeah.
That's why fabulous. I always ask people what they're noshing on at the beginning of the show.
Right. Like, okay. This all makes sense. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That and I'm Jewish, so.
Okay, well, hand in hand, I guess, right? Is it?
Yeah. I have to have it all, right?
Yes, okay, I love that.
So how long have you been doing comedy? I want to get back to that, because you're so funny.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm from South Florida, right? But I lived in Los Angeles for 11 years. I originally moved out there to be a dancer. Like, I grew up doing, like, technical and tap jazz ballet and hip-hop modern and acrobatics. Yeah.
I didn't know that. So are you on point, like ballet point?
I have done point. I have my shoes still. I don't know if I'm still, I could do a couple berets or something, but I don't know if I could do pirouettes on point with that. But yeah, I was very much a bunhead. And then, you know, going to LA, it's kind of more about the look and like more jazz funk and hip hop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was fun. But then after a while, it was so typecast where it just, for me, if something is not fun, especially with your art, don't, like, you know, just do it for fun. Like, doesn't need to be my career. So I quickly pivoted towards improv. I did Groundlings for a couple of the workshops. Yeah.
I did UCB. I only did Groundlings for sketch.
I think that I wish I would have done UCB instead, because one's character and one's something else. And I don't know. I just thought, and how funny at Groundlings, my first teacher was a teacher from Coral Springs, where my home, I'm like, this is not what I'm paying for right now. I'm now having a teacher from my hometown, went to my old high school, whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought that improv was a little, I don't want to say corny because I feel bad because I have friends that do improv and I think it's fabulous. But with all of the rules and stuff, you can't say no, you can't ask questions.
Yeah.
I didn't find it authentic and it just was not my thing. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I got the tools for that. And then somebody mentioned stand up to me. And there's a casting director named Leslie Wolf. I think you said that you knew her.
Of her. Leslie I don't Wolf. Know her personally. If yeah, I knew Leslie, Leslie Wolf, she, Wolf yeah. personally, maybe I'd be further
right. Along. Well, I did that. And a lot of people kind of like, you know, look down on people that do a class. But the thing is, it wasn't necessarily a class like teaching us things. She was teaching us the standard rules. You move the mic stand. You know what I mean? Narrow down things and don't have to explain every nook and cranny of your story. And she let me be me, but she just kind of refined me, right? So that was like, I don't know, a couple months. And then we do a showcase at the improv and you get a video and stuff. And then bookers and people like that show up. And then there was this gentleman named Vargas Mason. He used to put on the Booker. Is it Booker shows what they're called? Booker shows? Like, it's been
bringer,
so long.
Bring your shows.
Bring your shows. So yeah, he did the Bring Your Shows at the Comedy Store in the original room, which is a great opportunity. So
great room.
You bring 10 people and then every people after that, you get paid $5. So there's incentive there. So I did that for quite some time. And then I would just go to open mics around town, meet people that did shows. And, you know, the Comedy Store was like my second home for like 9 years. I was there all the time and just popping into shows. And I learned so much. I met so many people. And
We realized we had a lot of people on Instagram in common. We knew a lot of the same comedians in LA and New York. Now,
because they all are there, or you see the same people all the time, you just become friends.
Yeah, you do. I mean, that's how I made so many friends in comedy.
Yeah, you're in the trenches together, you know? Like,
yeah,
and I love it. The open mics, yeah.
I kind of love it because there's a camaraderie in comedy and stand-up comedy that, not always, of course, there are, I don't know how to say, bad eggs everywhere, but like,
right.
I felt so much more of a camaraderie with comedians and people being like, oh, I just met you, I like you, like, want to come be in my show tomorrow at 4 p.m., you know what I mean?
Right.
And like in acting where it's like, it's like, I was in acting class in LA. I loved this acting class. I just want to say that Stan Kerr Studios, it's incredible.
Really?
Yeah. Amazing. I loved it when I was going. And, but I will say there is, whether it's intentional or unintentional, you
different
know, on the surface or not,
there's
so much competitiveness.
Yeah.
I guess that's everywhere. Of course, that also is in stand-up comedy, right? But I don't know. There was something about every stand-up, most of the stand-up comics that I've met have been lovely. Not all of them, of course.
Right. There's some shade out there.
Yeah, I could call out a few people. I won't do that right now. Maybe on another show when like we should do like a tequila tasting show and then just
shout
out our enemies.
Yeah. That would be hilarious.
I want to do
that. Yeah, it's different because, you know, if you think about it with acting, it's like you're going for similar roles, whatever. People stand up, everybody's so different. There is one Ashley, there is one Simone. Like, there's really nobody that's completely alike. There can be some things that are similar, but
sure.
What's the reason? I mean, there's
nothing. And jokes, personal jokes are so nuanced, right? Like 100%. If someone tells an incredible story joke and you go on this journey and say you have like a 5-minute set, I've seen some people steal jokes.
Yes.
And one, that's despicable. If there was ever like a guild for stand-up comedy, like you should be kicked out. But also
100%.
Even if you did that, I'm moving the mic closer to me because I can hear myself going in and out. Is that better?
Oh, you're good. Your voice has been solid.
Good. I think that, damn it, now I forgot what is going on.
Oh, stealing jokes. Stealing jokes.
Oh, right. Like you can't make the punchline any funnier just by stealing it. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Like it's a nuanced thing.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There are jokes where I've seen people do and I'm like, fuck, that there's moments where it's like, oh my God, I have not a better way of doing it, but like you know what I mean?
But that's different. That's different. You're like, ooh, that was so good. You could have just hit one thing and gotten this way.
Right. But if that's the point, then I'll just tell them that because they're already doing it. You know what I mean? Especially in LA, like people have been recording and posting their jokes from the beginning of time, you know?
Well, look at Matt Reif. He got big. I think he was on Wild and Out when he was, or before he was posting.
Right. He was a little baby on that.
He was a cherub. But he, like, I think he really got, I mean, now he's selling out arenas. Like, I think he got.
And like with that crowd work, I can't even imagine.
I'm sure.
I'll go to jail if I do too much crowd work.
Yeah.
Like really though. I like
you'd
crowd work, I'll touch on it. But if I get too in, it could be a liability. So I like to like kind of do my stuff. And then maybe if it's like, if there's something happening in the middle of my set, of course I'm going to address it. But I like to kind of save that for the end when I'm like, oh, I have some time to like mess around a little bit. Let's flirt with the audience, if you will. Like I am such a aggressive person in a sense where like I'm very like who I am. And for some reason, everybody I meet that's new, they're like, okay, don't make fun of me. And I'm like, I'm not the type of person to do that. I'm the type to be like flirty and fun. Like I like to do very tongue in cheek. Like, you know, because you never know who's out there. I mean, the first time I ever got heckled at my Bringer show, I more or less threatened somebody, whatever. I'm either here or there. And Vargas was kind of like, you can't do that. And I said, well, they challenged me. And he was like, well, they were just heckling you. I was like, what is heckling? You know, and I kind of had to learn that situation. I used to plant my friends throughout the audience kind of keep it safe. I did. For the first month, I did that.
I didn't even know that someone asked me once if I had ever done that. And I said, I was too afraid. I was like, I don't want to plant people because I have faith in people, but I don't know that I would have faith in my friends, like, remembering to be like, when I say this, you do that. I feel like
it wasn't that deep. It was just like, I'm like, it was just kind of like, at this joke, you can kind of say whatever. I told him, say whatever you want, but this, I know what this joke, almost every time I've told this certain joke, somebody would say something. So I'm like, say whatever. And it's still off the cuff because right. I'm not good you with plans. Like, I'm way more funny. Like, I'm funnier if it's, so it was still authentic, but it was just kind of like, say something before somebody else does kind of thing.
Right. I actually, funny enough, before you brought up the heckler that you threatened, I was going to ask you if you've ever been heckled and how you, you know, handle that on stage.
Yeah,
but you just,
I mean,
told me.
I've come a long way, right? Like, even I actually have a video, a clip on my Instagram of this guy that was just talking throughout the entire show, like, kept talking. And then I was, like, doing my joke, and he, like, made a little comment. He's in the front row, too, like, the nerve.
That's so rude.
I just walked up. I was like, you're talking a lot. And then sometimes they do this, they'll apologize. And I'm like, no, it's okay. Go ahead. And I was like, my ex talked a lot. He's in a cage now. You want to go? And then I just keep it moving. Like, the moment you give them too much time to talk, you are done. And yeah, they have the power. I'm not going to give you the power. I'll address it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just, like, shut it down. Maybe I will threaten them a little bit, but I laugh
but
it off.
But it's friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also think that it's one thing to heckle, which, by the way, like, fine, it's a, that happens. Like, it's one thing
it's
to be like,
ha-ha's,
yeah, like, whatever, like, yelling something like, oh, that didn't happen, whatever. But it's another thing to be in the front row and talk the whole time. Also, I once had someone say their own punch, like, they weren't a comedian. That's the thing. They were not a comedian. They said their own punch, like, they finished my joke. I was on, and they were in the second row, not the first row.
Why?
I don't know why, but I was saying, I'm holding mic, and I said my joke, and it was like, but, and I was about to say the punchline, and they said their own. I was like, no, dude, no, not that.
Oh my God.
And like, we had banter back and forth after that, and like, we were like, it was totally fine, and he was laughing at all my jokes.
The banter after, when you touch it, when you do a callback to it, like, that's funny, because you're like, oh, here we go, this freaking,
well,
this
I
guy
did
again.
End up doing a call, like, 2 minutes later, I was like, hey, remember that time? Like,
yes.
But I find that to be so, I want, ooh, I'll tell you where, when we're not recording, because okay. I don't want to say it and have people be mad at me. But there was one open mic I did when I first got here, mm-hmm. and it was just to try something new and, like, get myself ingrained in the, you know, the Floridian,
right.
comic
energy
scene.
Vibes. Yeah.
And, the host was not only bad, like, just bad at hosting.
Right.
But he wasn't funny, and he kept rewriting people. Like, people would say a joke on stage, and he'd be like, oh, you should have said that loudly.
Okay, sweetie.
While they're still performing their next joke. And then he would try to finish their joke. So I actually, when I was on stage, and I'm almost paused, I posted a video of that, of my interaction with him, where I like turned around. And now everybody who is going to go to my Instagram and find that interaction.
Whatever,
but I said,
then you'll realize that, be prepared when you go to that certain mic. I mean, the nerve of people, it's insane. You know, like, I don't, we're there to work things out. And that's the thing too. In LA,
so
I don't know if you experienced it or not, but we didn't really do writer's rooms, open mics in LA. Like, that wasn't a thing. So when I came here, they're like, come to a writer's room. I was like, so wait, I'm going to a writer's room with other people that are doing an open mic. I don't know how long you've been doing this. I don't even know you like that. You don't know my jokes like that. And you're going to tell me how to do my jokes. I'm actually fine on that. I'm not really a fan of writer's room. If I want to do something like that, I will meet with you, Ashley, and we will workshop our jokes together.
Right.
You know, like,
I was pulled into a writer's room by accident. I went to a show last week. And when I tell you, you'll know who it is. And nobody came. And I was doing it to prepare for my big show this Friday,
right,
in Tampa. And my Don't Tell Comedy. Oh, this is coming out. I think after this episode's coming out after the show anyway. So I'm not even going to.
Yeah, right.
It.
Exactly.
Don't Tell Comedy. Anyway, that's what it's called.
Yes.
But
I want to do it so bad out here.
I went to it to just, like, try these jokes, which that's what I'm doing tonight now. But nobody came, so they turned it into a writer's room, and I hated it because, one, I wasn't getting along with, no, there was one person there that I just straight up didn't like,
right.
And But the thing is, he was probably out of everyone there the funniest, but he was intellectually funny. Like, our jokes were different. Like, it was just very confusing because, like, you want to make people laugh, and sometimes, like, the audience just doesn't vibe with you, and that's happened to me, and bombed.
Yeah.
But I also don't want some random person that's been doing stand-up for a month and a half saying, like, oh, you should have done this. Like, you don't know me. You don't know my – you also, like, you just don't – you don't know my style.
No, exactly. It doesn't make sense. That's why I always say, I'm like, we just workshop together and do that. When I heard Writer's Room, I was just like, wait, what? Now this is a waste of time. Like, let's just do the mic. If you want to after do a moment, I think that's even better because, right, everybody does their jokes. If you want to write, also now you're taking away from your own jokes and you're helping somebody else. I don't have time for that. I need to, you know, get my stuff together. So that's one thing about the scene out here that I'm kind of just like, I mean, there is, it's growing. It is in a way, but to come from that, and then you also were in New York. And to come to here, it's just so different. But at the end of the day, for me, I look at it, everything is silver lining. You know, I'm using this as a tool. That way I can adjust to every which way. I mean, people in Florida are different. Right. Like, there's a lot of political things that I don't necessarily do. And, you know, at the end of the day, it works for me. Like, you can go do the political thing and then you're nothing like me. So I think I stand out more. But at the end of the day, I want to be challenged, you know? So that's why New York and LA are kind of more of my speed as far as
comedy. So how come you left LA? Why did you leave?
Well, actually, you know, just to get a little sentimental, my dad, who's a doctor, he's fabulous. And just side note, doctors really don't take the best care of themselves. You know, he is, you know, getting older, he had to get a pacemaker, all these different things. And my mom has like been begging me to come back for a while now. And I was like, no, like I literally thought I was going to be that LA girly forever. But the universe works in such weird ways. You know, LA has kind of, even since COVID, the scene has been a little bit, you know, kind of like gray for a moment. And like I said, I did 11 years and I just felt like, okay, I did the thing and I just didn't feel a spark anymore, you know? And to be honest with you, I wanted to move to New York for a really long time. Like everybody in LA was people, whether I met them for the first time or I've known, they're just like, you literally sound like you're from New York or from New Jersey. I just feel like your quickness, it doesn't really flow here. Like it does, but like, I just think that it was more of a fit. So I went and I did like a mic there and stuff. And I just loved the energy. So I figured, okay, let me come home, take a beat for like, you know, a year until everybody's all settled. He's fine, by the way. And just spend time with my family. You can get that time back, you know? And also New York is like a 2.5, what, 3 hour flight away. It's so quick and easy. So
I was just there a week and a half ago. It's so easy.
Yeah, I'm going on not this week, but next week. And I'm so excited. And
I'm so excited for you.
And that way, like, you know, New York is so much money and I would never be able to just go from LA to New York because I don't have that type of income. So I figured, okay, this is actually a win-win. Like I get to be with my family, get to chill, and I can save up, you know, work a full season, and then I'll be able to go and be ready.
And the thing is, if like a booker contacted you from New York
tomorrow,
like if and they were like, hey, I can get you in at the Cellar at a 10 p.m. show this Friday, like you can get there.
Right. You know. And then that's the thing too. I feel like the time being while I'm here, because it's so easy to go and like my flight was like $200 round trip, it's insane. So I plan on just going every few months and getting on shows.
Maybe.
Right. Yeah. And like getting on shows and getting in the scene and getting my foot in there. So by the time I do move, like I already know people. So there's a plan. Like I just feel like in LA you get so caught up in the scene too, right? Like I had to take a year off in LA actually at some point because, you know, I was at the Comedy Store every night and, you know, there's a lot of drinking going on and like partying and stuff.
It got
too crazy and I was like, I need to just chill. But in LA, it's like every day is a Friday, you know? So I was, you know, and I'm in my head, I'm justifying like, oh, I'm going to my local bar, shout out Rockin' Riley's. It's closed now, but that was my local dive. I lived there. Yeah. I was the ambassador. There was a beer and wine club there for $75 a month.
You were a part of that.
Me and my homies were there and we would sit at the same table every time. That was our spot. And I went there frequently and it didn't seem for me. I was like, oh, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like I'm drinking like beers, who cares? But it's like, so you're still drinking often and you just get so caught up. The mic started lessening, the show started lessening and I just wasn't doing anything for me. And I'm 36 years old and I just feel like, you know, you got to make a move. And I feel like New York, everybody's so on their game there that, yeah, they party, of course. But if you're not on it, then you're not going to get the respect. Like, nobody's going to take you seriously. No one's going to respect you. And now that I'm older and I kind of grown in LA, I moved at 23. Now I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, I'm focused. I'm ready, you know? So I think that everything happens for a reason. And I'm riding the wave right now. And, you know, just going with the universe.
Yeah. I love your mentality. I think as like a personal pessimist, it's really like, I don't dress like a pessimist. I dressed as if I believe fairies are on the sun.
Right.
But on point. Inside, I'm a complete glass is half full of arsenic. So like, I really want to adopt your way of thinking because it's so unhealthy the way I think. And it like really brings me down.
We all have our moments for sure.
I love your mentality. How did you get so positive?
You want to know what it is? Because I'm not going to say I was ever so negative, but I've always been kind of like a self-deprecating, honestly, comedy, which sounds so crazy. Because
you're not Jewish.
Right, exactly.
How are you self-deprecating? You're not Jewish.
I'm not Jewish, but I am a woman in society. The thing is like, you know, comics are known to be very like depressed and hard on themselves and things like that. But for me, comedy gave me confidence, right? Because I exposed my traumas and things with people that also went through it, you know, and watching other people go through things and be so, especially as an artist, like people that are so hard on themselves. And, you know, I've just seen so many people be so hard on themselves and I don't want to see that. And I've had people that have been through a lot of things, like, you know, not to get too dark, but like, especially comics. I've had a really good comedian friend that, you know, took her own life and things like that. And,
I'm so sorry.
And that kind of hit home for me. And it's just like, we need to be supportive of each other and be supportive of yourself, you know? So it just took a lot of trial and error and also realizing that you are in charge of your mental health and you are in charge of your being. Easier said than done, of course. But if you are surrounded by, I come from a great family. My family is so supportive. My parents tell me they love me, the whole thing. So I think your surroundings, people, places, and things really help that. You know, if you're around negative people, you are going to be negative.
Yes.
If you're around people that gas you, misery, will gas them.
Misery loves company.
They do. And it's a very sad world. Like my friends, we gas each other. And then if you don't, then you wonder, why hasn't Simone been around? Because you are a sad person. And I don't have time for, I'm 36. Like we need to be more confident, you know, not less, because how are you going to, you know, find yourself and let alone find a partner, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I just have no choice to be positive. I think that's what it is, because the alternative is scary, you know, and I've seen, I've teetered along that road, and I'm grateful if there's one around here that I got out of that in time to not let anything happen. Yeah. Thanks.
Good for you. That's amazing. And thank you for sharing that about your friend. I'm very sorry. That's horrible. I want to go back to your time in New York. How long were you there for?
Well, it's funny because I went for my friend's wedding. My friend Amanda, she grew up with me in South Florida, and she went to New York right out of high school. She went to St. John's. She stayed there ever since. I mean, I think she's at this point been there, I mean, damn near close to 20 years. I mean, she's been there for a long time. And from day one, she's been like, Simone, you should be out here, blah, blah, blah. And whatever. So I went for her wedding. She had a wedding upstate. And before that, me and my girlfriend, Dana, we were like, okay, let's go to New York for a little bit before, go in the city. So we did that. And I met a lot of people. And I also ran into some friends that have lived there for a long time too. And they were just telling me how much more of like a drive they have from doing comedy there, and how much more people like are just so real, and it's less of a gimmick and stuff. So I just felt that magic. And then after that, I was like, okay, now I need to get back over there and get it going. So it literally took like two times for me to be like, okay, this is something I need to do. But I was living in LA still, you know?
Right,
so
I
didn't think I was going to move, but I still felt, man, that New York is amazing. And then this happened and it kind of sparked my attention. Yeah.
Now we like kind of missed each other in LA. I was in LA for 15 years and and we're only 2 years apart, and you were there for 11 years. I mean, we're 4 years apart, but I mean like age-wise, We're two years apart. So, like, we moved around the same time.
2013, I moved. I was 23. So, 2013.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. I was 18. 2009.
Oh, God. See, good on you. I would not have been ready at that time. 18, I wasn't ready.
I certainly wasn't ready, but I don't regret it at all. I had the best time. I learned a lot. I loved it. Even the really hard times. Like now it's like what you said. I look back and I'm like, you know what? I did that. Like, I can't believe I did it.
We're lucky that we got to be there
during the Mecca.
Right.
Like we're so lucky. I was talking about this with another friend of mine that we were able to go on auditions in person. We were able to have two auditions a day, if you were lucky, and drive from one to the other and be in person and, quote, book the room.
Yeah.
Now it's all – I had a self-tape last week or the week before and haven't heard anything.
Also,
but like
with
I didn't
self-tapes too, it's like – because, you know, I have like – everybody has like their lazy moments. But like I said, living in LA, like I'm going out doing things. And I would have a self-tape like, okay, do at 9 a.m. tomorrow. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like I'm literally out at the bar at 11. I don't want to do that. And there were times where I was like, whatever, I don't. I mean, it wasn't a lot, maybe, but three times I just kind of didn't. And, you know, if you have to show up in person, that's.
You're there.
Like, you have to go. Like, and I just felt the energy. Like, I just lost a mojo. You know what I mean? And even with comedy, though, like, the Comedy Store was such a vibe, man. Like, from, you know, like 2016 to, like, you know, before the pandemic, like, it was just amazing. Like, I saw so many people and I've got to engage. Like one of my good friends, Carrie Mitchell, shout out to Carrie. I love her. She actually is at the mothership now because Tony Hinchcliffe brought a couple of people from the staff with him to the Austin comedy club that he has, mothership. And I used to bartend with her at the Hard Rock on Hollywood Boulevard, LOL.
Ooh,
and she booked, she got the bartending gig at the Comedy Store, but she worked as a bartender in the Sacred Ground bar in the back, you know, like, And, you know, a lot of the headliners and stuff would go there and that's where like a lot of the famous people and stuff would go. And, you know, I was never that type of, you know, artist, comic or whatever. That was like, a thirsty, like, let me take your picture. Let me be around like celebrities. I knew to not speak unless I was spoken to kind of thing. And Carrie, I was an open micer at the time and she trusted me and I would always sit at that little corner side and I'll never forget. She used to always just be like, okay, Simone, shut up. And she would just say that. And I knew when she said that, that means somebody's coming in, be cool and just, you know, whatever. And oh my God, I have been in that room with Chappelle, John Mayer, like a bunch of people. And it was just such a, I felt so grateful and privileged to like be able to be back there. And I just was a sponge and I just got all this information and insight from people. And I made sure to like respectfully make her proud. And I will never forget that. And she has been, and still to this day, such a good friend to me. And, you know, we would sometimes it'd be just her and I in there and we would just drink Jameson and just like talk about our journeys. And her husband, Brett Erickson, he's a comedian and they're really good friends with like Doug Stanhope and like Bingo, all those people. So they have been in the scene and they know the OGs. So I've learned so much from that place and the people there that the Comedy Store will like literally have my heart forever and ever. And I'm obsessed. And a lot of my friends now are the door guys there and they're thriving. And a lot of my friends are past. They're, you know, paid regulars there. And it's so great to watch people win. The people that are working their butts off. Like,
love that.
You know, like I always have to shout her out. Like Kelly Ryan. I mean, she is one of my favorite comics and she has been doing it since she was like young and then did it in college and stuff. And she's one of the funniest people I've ever seen. And she's past there and she's killing the game and well deserved because she is a star and people can hate on it, but what you can't even, what? Because she's like, that good.
I don't like when people hate on other people's success. It's one crazy thing. It's like, I had this coach, Dewan Johnson. He's actually been a guest on this podcast and he's fantastic. He was my acting coach. Then he became at one point my like acting career coach. And then I had him come on the pod a little after that session ended. And anyway, he's great. But he told me, I said to him once, I was on a kid's show years ago with this actress and she booked something huge. And I was so happy for her. It was her dream gig. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. kind of jealous. And he told me, he was like, you're not, don't use the word jealous. Use the word envious. You don't want to push her down the stairs, but you're envious of that opportunity that she nailed and worked hard on and got. And I was like, you're right. Yeah, I'm envious of that opportunity, but I'm not, you know, I don't, I want her to succeed. You know, I don't want to do anything bad. You know what I mean? So I think there's a difference between jealousy and envy.
100%. And it's like overall, right? Like, it's not even just if people work hard or not. Like, I'm still like, do you, for example, so obviously you've seen this in LA too. And you know, I can, there's a list of names. Anybody will know who they are, but that were like really pretty girls that do stand up and they're not necessarily good or funny, but they're like really, really, like, oh my God, you think you're really pretty? They're really pretty. And they would get on shows. Like, I'll never forget this one comic. She, you know, was featuring for Eric Griffin. And I was just like, oh, that's interesting. But for me, like, I was never a hater because I was like, Simone, if somebody offered you, and even if it was because you're pretty, because I would take it too. So go
right,
off,
that's
girl.
The thing. Right, exactly. Like, if someone said, hey, I actually really don't like your joke, but like, you did your makeup really well. So, which by the way, I'm terrible at makeup, but I'm just making a joke. But like,
yeah, because people will be like, oh, well, she just got it because she's pretty. And then they'll go further and then
like, okay,
make up some crazy rumor like she probably hooked up with him or whatever. It's like, first of all, do you even know that for a fact? And if they did or didn't, all power to you. Cause for me, like I said, not being competitive, that person is not me. They, they're not funny, even better because my
because
talent
you
will speak
are,
for itself.
And you'll get there with your talent. Yeah. And also
I'm not
like
threatened by any means. And also let me tell you something. You be nice to everybody because God forbid all these people that are hating, if she needs somebody to come in before, she probably will ask me over somebody else because they're all being haters. So you guys aren't playing the game right, sweetie. You're not playing the game right.
Exactly. I also think like if someone gets a role or a part because they're pretty or good looking, like more power to like good for you. Like what is, I don't see what's wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, like you're beautiful and the role is for beautiful girl number one and says, hello, how are you? Like,
or for the person that's like the feature comic, like it's the dynamic, right? Like, I hate that I don't remember her last name, but Caroline, she's was one of the witches from Sabrina. Caroline something.
Oh, I know. Oh my God, I know exactly. Okay. Oh my God, she's so funny. She's Flappers so all the time. Wait,
So my good friend CJ Marinin, he started comedy. He's an actor, and he started comedy, and he was like brand new, and he was at the Chateau or something like that, and she saw him. Yes, Caroline, she's amazing, and she saw him at the Comedy Chateau or something. And she was like, hey, do you want a feature for me and like get on the road? And then in a blink of an eye, CJ is touring with her. And, you know, he's brand spanking new. But the dynamic is so great with them because CJ's young, good looking. First of all, CJ, you're a tall drink of water and I still want to date you and touch your body. But he is actually really funny and he learned a lot from her. But he's like young, like she's smart. She's going to get a young crowd that like likes that crowd, obviously wants to see a good looking guy. And then he's going to get people that have been with her from day one. So they are gaining fans of longevity. And I think it's genius that people are doing that. I think that's smart. You know, don't always just book your friends, get some new talent here. And she really put him on the map and he's all over right now. He's killing the game.
I love that. Yeah. I have a friend Rocco who, got a big tour. I forget, who it was. I'd have to look that up later, but like, I think opportunity brings work, and I think sometimes you just have to put yourself in the right line of fire. You 100%. Know?
And I kind of love that too because, you know, the luck is the best part. It's so genuine, it's so authentic, and you know,
and you're so thankful for it.
You're so thankful. Like any day, like my brother was just telling me because I made that like voice thing for my mom. And even in LA, my agent used to be like, Simone, you need to get on TikTok. And I'm just so bad at it. But my brother, he'll be like, Simone, it takes one video. Like, he'll like say that to me and stuff.
That's what my brother says too. It takes one audition. It's one video. Yeah. Something that we would say in class in LA was like, you're one audition away.
Right.
From your, you know, big break, or your one stand-up show away from your big break. That's the thing. That's why I keep posting jokes. Like I see I've spoken to some comics that are like, oh, I'm really bad with social media. So like, I don't know, like maybe
well,
I'll just
get good at it. Yeah.
Or just post a joke.
Do something. Yeah.
Post right. Something. And they're like, well, I don't want to give away my joke. And I'm like,
okay, you just post a little clip. And even either so, it's already on there. So yeah. Whatever.
And it's also like you're giving your, this sounds bad, but like, I don't want to say like, don't give yourself so much credit.
I know what you're
going
to say. Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
But like,
you're not Mark Maron, relax. Yeah.
But like, if Matt Rife didn't put himself on social media, like he wouldn't be where he is today. And he's like, how many specials does he have? And how, and is, I believe he's currently on tour and they're
big tours.
So I just feel like you are, yeah, your brother's absolutely right. You're one video away.
And the overnight thing is so real. Like things happen overnight in such a crazy
way. And you just have to make sure that you can keep it up because
that's the thing. You got to keep it up.
But I do think like with stand up, it's one thing like with acting, like you could book something and then you don't book anything for a couple of years, which that's me right now. I'm in that couple of years right now where I haven't booked anything in a while. But that's why I love stand up comedy, because it's giving me another outlet and I'm posting things.
And it's
performing and I love it. But I will say that like you can, in that, I don't want to say in that interim, but like stand-up comedy is one of those things where like if your joke gets big online, like you don't know who could see it. It's exactly what you said. Someone can be coming through Florida and be like, hey, I'm going to be at XYZ. Like, do you want to open for me?
Right. And also it's a huge tool. And like, this is something that people don't really know about me. I don't necessarily want to be a stand-up comedian, right?
That's right. So, like, you were mentioning that.
For me, my goal, my dream rather, is to have like, you know, my own late night talk show, you know, kind of like hosting vibes. I really like to engage with people because obviously, like we were just talking about, I like to make people feel good. I like to, you know, hold people accountable and be real and things like that. So stand-up and hosting is such a great tool for me to be able to like, okay, no one, one there to talk, read the room. And also being in the service industry as a server and a bartender, all different kinds of people, all different walks of life. Like having that social awareness is so important.
Totally.
And you know, there's a lot of these different talk shows. Everybody's doing them now, but there are some where you can tell that they're very kind of like rehearsed, if you will. And obviously you need structure, right? But at the same time, keeping it more lax. Like I'm trying to keep, you know, my millennial generation fresh, you know? I just feel like for me, like even like radio, you know what I mean? Like I'm really interested in doing stuff like that. So I'm using this as a tool to put myself out there and show that like, you know, you could put me anywhere and like, I'll get people to like me and, or to want it, at least listen and engage, you know what I mean? Like, and if they don't like me, they're still going to be intrigued. Like, what is this girl talking about? Like, did you really stab your boyfriend? Like, how many times? Why? And
did you get caught? Because like you're talking about it right now. Are you going to go to jail?
No, exactly. Like,
is he dead?
No, I think it's like 7 years and it goes away or something. I don't know, but yeah, everything's fine now. I've come a long way.
Good for you. Good for you, Simone. Yeah, I remember you had told me that. Like our second time meeting, and I totally see that for you.
You think, yeah?
I do think. Do you believe in manifestation? Are you into that or no?
Beyond.
Okay.
Like next level. Like I even do it down to when I'm serving at the restaurant. I like go like first. I always say I have an abundance of wealth and money comes easily to me. Jimmy King put me on that, and I at work will be like, guys, we're making $200 today. $200, we're making it, and almost every time. 210 or this, like it just happens. And also for other things, but the same type of manifesting, you need to put in the work and do the things. Like,
you can't just say, I want a pony and then not go get a pony.
Learn how to ride the pony or ride another pony.
Yeah, that's probably a better thing than I said. So, okay. So then when the nights that you said that you say, we're going to make $200 tonight and the nights that you make 170, where do you go from? What does that mean to you? What do you say?
I then go into the whole like, okay, well, you know, I did make something. It's close enough. And I, at the very least, if I didn't have that mentality, would I have even made that 170, right? Like if I didn't go and think I'm going to make money and I had this attitude like, God, I don't want to be here. I should be a star by now. I probably would only make X amount because I'm not giving the energy to the people that are giving me the tips. So it's full circle, you know, like all because you don't get exactly what you want doesn't mean that it's not, it's a process. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
Because not, if X didn't happen, then Y and Z wouldn't follow, you know?
Right. Manifesting is not just like, oh, this is it. No. Right. Manifesting is little manifestors into the full circle, which is me getting where I need to be because of, it's all about your attitude. It's not about what you get from it. It's the attitude towards it, right? So it's like, okay, like having a positive attitude and being hopeful, you know, and always being hopeful. Yeah. And the thing is manifesting, being hopeful even when it doesn't happen, right? So if I manifest something and I don't get it and I say, oh, I didn't get it, this is terrible, then that's a waste, right? It's a wash. If I manifest and I get it kind of close, maybe not that close, but whatever, I'm just like, okay, but maybe next time we'll get there. And then it's a build. You can't just manifest one thing and you don't get it and it's over. It's a build. Yeah.
I love
it. Life is a journey. Yeah.
Life is a journey. But I think you're right. I think it's also one of those things where you can manifest something so specific, and that's specificity of, okay, I manifest 100% and you get 99.2% or you get 89.1%. It's not as if you're like, well, I need the rust to make it 100. No, yeah. You know, like
I'll just keep manifesting till I get the 100.
You're the one that defines your own success, you know?
Correct. See, that you just nailed it. That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah. I had a friend once that, she was my friend in acting school from, I think, maybe 18 and a half, 19 to, I mean, she was in my wedding, but like, we're great friends. But I mean, she left LA maybe 4 years, something like within the pandemic-y time. And she said, no one can say I didn't make it. You know,
right.
I made it for me because I was a working actress. I achieved so many goals. I'm not Natalie Portman, but she booked one of the coolest commercials I've ever seen. She did an Ipsy commercial. And like that to me, I'm like, you have made it. Like you've made it.
Right. 100%. And it's your definition of it too. And I felt the same way. Like for me, when I say like, I did it, like, yeah, I'm not like a past, you know, paid regular at the Comedy Store, but at the same time, like I was at the Comedy Store in the thick of it. I got to experience things that a lot of people didn't that used to be there all the time. And like I did, you know, the fun Hollywood Hills parties. I met the celebrities. I've experienced enough to say that I did that. I mean, 11 years is a long time, you know? So, what is making it to anybody? For me, making it, like, I come from a world where I was like the party girl in high school. Like, people probably didn't think I would even make it to LA, let alone 11 years. So, that's a big feat for me. And I've learned a lot. And, you know, I don't ever feel like I'm giving up. It's just the next package.
No.
LA is the only place to make it. And honestly, LA is not really popping right now to me. It's not.
Not at all.
Not a vibe.
That's
it's
also
like a TikToker thing now. It's like influencers and I'm not.
Right. And that's also one of the pros of self-tapes. Like, yeah, we can complain a lot because we're not in the room. But self-taping does give us the ability to self-tape from anywhere. You have a blue backdrop, you have a green, gray, whatever backdrop. You have your phone and you have a ring light or a regular light.
All the tools,
I hear ring lights
aren't
great. And film your audition. And you know what? It also, I now list myself as a local hire for LA, obviously, New York, Florida.
Interesting. I should do that. Yeah.
Just be a local hire. Get yourself there. Now, but make sure you have a place like to stay. I'm lucky stay at my dad's in New York and like cousins and stuff. Like,
Like the majority of my friends are there because we're East Coasters in general. Like, you know. Not a lot of people really chose LA. They mostly chose New York, to be honest, in my friend group at least.
And for the right role, you'll find a way. Even if you have to like get a hotel for a night for like a really good role, like you will put yourself as a local. I don't have anybody in Atlanta, but if it's a good role, I'll be a local hire.
I'll get myself
there.
Sweetie.
My agents are like, I'll send you to like Zimbabwe to film something. I'm like, great, send me there. Get me a good gig. Like,
especially
let's go.
If you feel that it's yours, like go. Who cares?
Yeah, I'll do it. Don't care.
You never know.
Okay, Simone, we're coming to an end because I can hear my cat scratching at the door and she's being a crazy, crazy baby. I love her so much more than anything, but she's annoying me. So last final thoughts, final everything. You're going to New York in 2 weeks?
Yeah, April 14th to the 18th.
No way. Did you just freeze? Oh, good, 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 good.
Yeah, 14th to the 18th. And then I'll probably go again probably November and then probably again January. I have to like look at my my calendar, but yeah, I'm trying
when
to
are
go
you
like
going
every
in
few
November.
Months.
We should chat.
Okay, yeah, I'm not. I have to look at my
I
notes
love that.
Still.
I love that.
I think it's like
amazing.
Mid in the middle. Yeah, in the middle.
I just want to. I think we have a bad connection all of a sudden because you keep freezing. It might be on my end though, but I think you're blinking, which means you're not frozen
yes.
anymore.
Yeah, I'm here. You didn't freeze from
well,
yet.
Anyway, I just want to thank you for being so, honestly, you've been so incredibly vulnerable throughout this entire recording. Thank you so much. You're amazing. I'm bummed I'm not going to see you at the show tonight, but let's get together. Let's talk after this and set something up.
Okay. But also we can tell everybody that we have a show together in October.
We do, everybody. October 18th, 4 p.m. Doors open at 3 p.m. We have an epic, epic show at the is it the Dania Beach or Fort Lauderdale Improv? What is it
Fort
called?
Fort Lauderdale Improv. It was the Dania Improv. It's Fort Lauderdale Improv.
Got
whatever.
It. Okay.
But,
at the Fort Lauderdale Improv, October 18th, 4 p.m. Doors open at 3 p.m. Show at 4 p.m. October 18th, Fort Lauderdale Improv.
It's going to be
Simone
great. I'm
and
really
I,
excited.
It's going to be amazing. Visit my Instagram. You guys know at That's Ashley's Kitchen if you want to get tickets. Tickets are, I forget how much, I don't know. Use either Simone's promo, which is just her name, Simone, S-I-M-O-N-E, or use mine, mm-hmm. Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y, and go crazy.
Yes, I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
Simone, tell everybody where they can follow you.
You guys can follow me on Instagram and on TikTok at Sim1SaysHi. It's S-I-M, the number one, says S-A-Y-S-H-I, says hi. I post a lot of fun stories and stuff too to kind of keep everybody laughing throughout the day. So give me a follow, check out my videos and see if you like it.
I follow her. Oh my God.
Yes.
Are you kidding? And I follow her. So if you're bad at spelling, just go on my Instagram and you can find her. And she posts really funny stuff, including some jokes. She's hysterical.
Yes.
She's amazing. And
thank
very
you
pretty
so
pictures.
Much, Ashley. This was great. I love it. I can't wait to go eat with you in one of these fun little.
Oh my God, that sushi place you took me to. I still like think about it.
That's
I
gonna be
go
our ritual. We'll go before the next show.
100%. Let's do it next month. I'm down.
Perfect. Yes,
I'm in.
I'm excited.
Thank you so much, Simone. This was so fun.
Thank you. We'll see you soon, babe.
Okay.